Hi, is this Chris?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm so sorry about that. Hey, this is DJ Pekus for Greenlight Radio. Thank you so much for talking with me today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. Okay, I'm super nervous. You're like one of my biggest heroes. So I have 12 questions for you, so hopefully you have enough time, but stop me if you don't. So you recently had your second child last week. My brother had his second child. How are you doing with that? How is that? Congratulations.
We're a little, I think you're always going to be a little shell-shocked when you lose so much sleep in such a short amount of time, but it's actually, the experience this time is quite different than our first kid who was prone to blood-curdling screams all night. This one's easy to settle, so I don't know. So far it seems really easy, except for losing sleep.
Right. Congratulations. Where did you find the inspiration for your baby's name? That's always hard.
The first baby?
Either one.
This new one doesn't have a name yet. We're looking for that inspiration. The first kid's name is Francis, and I think it kind of comes from a few different places. The name itself, I mean, a lot of people of Irish descent have used the name Francis before, and I have Irish roots. It's actually a French name, and the etymology of it is, I think, a free person or free man. So, and it was also the name of an animal in one of our songs from a couple records ago, from a true story about a pig that escaped from a slaughterhouse. So, I don't know, it all kind of came together to be a name that we thought was a little bit different than every other kid in the neighborhood. So,
right. Well, good luck with finding a name for your second baby. My brother just had his second baby last week, and he didn't think of a name for about 5 days. So, good luck. It's very hard. Let's see. So you've been very vocal about anti-car culture in the past, but I know you're not doing the biodiesel van for tours anymore. How are you promoting or living this ideal these days?
Well, I think in our home lives, in our city, we ride our bikes or take mass transit as much as possible. We're all vegan, so there's a collateral reduction in carbon emissions through, in the totality of what parts of the of agribusiness you support. Growing our own food in our yards or whatever, stuff like that, I think all contribute to relying less on car culture. Having said that, we do have access to my partner's mom's car, and especially when it comes to this situation with this baby, we've been leaning on it quite a bit.
Yeah, you can't exactly strap your newborn in the back of your bike, so.
Yeah, you could, but I think it's probably, first of all, it's probably illegal, and second of all, unfortunately, our cities are built for cars, not for people, and I think that's gonna change, hand in hand with people, at the same time as people stop relying on their cars.
For sure. Any plans to get in the studio anytime soon? I know you're not doing some shows, but you did your European tour recently, or this summer in April. And then what about any new CDs for us? Huge fans?
Well, there's nothing planned right now. Like, I really want, we just finished coming off of a year of being on and off the road. And, I have this kid, the other guitar player is doing some school. Another guy's dad was in, just had major surgery, so everybody's kind of came home and got really involved in something else for the meantime, but I'm already feeling like I want to get back and make some new songs, so we're going to have to figure out everybody's schedule and see how we can make that happen. We actually have like 5 or 6 songs from the last record that never made it onto the record.
Oh yeah, we'll take those. Whatever you want to give us, we'll take. That's awesome. We're super excited. Okay, so you said before that you're kind of embarrassed when, it's been 20 years. I used to have How to Clean Everything on tape. But I mean, we still listen to it all the time. But you're particularly embarrassed sometimes to hear, you know, your own voice being that young, or, you know, you've developed more as an artist. Is there anything that you're especially proud of, or a CD or a song that you don't mind listening to and you're like, that shit rocked, anything like that?
Of our own records?
Yeah, of anything you've done.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think the, especially the last three records we've made, when I hear them come on, I'm not mortified. I don't have as many regrets or listen to it as you know, in disbelief at the choices, some of the choices we made, at, whether it's in the songs or in the recording process. But, I mean, the first record's the only one that really kind of, when I hear it in front of other people, I want it to stop. the other one, even Less Talk, you know, I think it's an interesting record. It's not my favorite, but it's interesting. And Empires, I don't mind that either. But yeah, How to Create Everything is just so. I think it's just the singing. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I just turned on a mic and said go. So if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't actually mind that record too much. I mean, some of it's very cartoonish, obviously, but I was just, those songs were written when we were teenagers, so we can't expect too much of us.
And then, like, in the past, you've donated the proceeds from your records to various causes. Are you doing anything with the re-release of this? And if so, what causes are you donating to?
No, the first record never had that. Less Talk was a record where we introduced the idea of sort of tithing ourselves, taking a portion of the proceeds and giving them to organizations that reflect our values. The re-release of How to Clean Everything doesn't incorporate that. I guess we do that in our personal lives. I guess we don't make a big deal about it anymore. All of us are involved somehow or other with groups that still reflect our values. And to be honest, it would be pennies by now. Back in the 90s, when you gave away 5% of your record sales, that was quite a bit of money. Now, you're like, fucking $15.
Right.
So, I don't know if that playing a show, I think, is a way more effective way of raising money for a band like us than giving a portion of the record proceeds away.
Awesome. Let's see. As you are getting older, how are you finding it easier to remain passionate about activism? Just, you know, as you get busier, you know, and you tend to not, you know, get as riled up as, you know, we used to, you know, how do you find ways in your own life to stay positive?
I think we get riled up more than we used to in a more, probably a more serious way. Finding the time to make that, to make our anger effective is maybe not increasingly difficult, but I mean, in a time period like this where I've just had this kid, maybe it's a little more difficult. But whenever we go out on tour, we coordinate with activist groups to make sure they have a presence at the shows, because I think a lot of showgoers, especially, you know, younger people, don't really have access to I think the key thing people are missing is information in our society. I think if people have the right information, they can make better choices, because I think we're a society of bad choices right now. So if you have these groups out there that are better at elucidating the issues than we are from stage, and the people who come to our shows can encounter those people and hear what they have to say, they might leave with a very different view of things. And I think we've been pretty good at that, and actually getting better at that over the years, and not kind of spinning our wheels with fly-by-night organizations, but kind of getting a better understanding of what groups do good, consistent work.
Awesome. That's very inspiring. So I know, like, Propagandhi recently lent support to the Chicago Guitar Center employees that are trying to unionize. You guys always have links for resources to causes you support on your website. Is there one that you're like that you just picked up, or something that you think is especially important at this point in time? Or what are you like most passionate about right now, besides your baby?
Yeah,
I think it's always hard to you know, pick something off the tree of all the problems that are all the challenges that society faces. I think one of the most inspiring things in recent months up here in Canada has been the Idle No More movement. I don't know if you've heard of that down in the States. It is down. There's a presence of that in the States too, but it's the First Peoples of America. I mean, in America, you might call them Native Americans, are rising up and organizing in ways they haven't necessarily before, and are demanding reparations, demanding the end of the colony, or demanding that not only white Canada or Euro Canada or Canada itself acknowledge its colonial past, but make up for it and recognize that we devastated their culture through taking their children away from their families, making their culture essentially illegal, and effectively committed an act of genocide that they've unbelievably and inspirationally survived and have bounced back from. So I think, for me, that's the thing that my ears perk up the most about these days, because I think it's not over. I think it's going to grow. I think it's going to change the face of Canadian society.
Awesome. I'll post the link to that on my website. I think that's really awesome. I think, you know, just in general, in larger cities, in America at least, it's been a lot easier to be vegan or, you know, at least vegetarian and support, you know, the kind of things that you support. Do you think that you've noticed anything that's become harder to support over the years?
Harder to support? No, I can't. Do you have an idea?
No idea. I just kind of noticed, you know, like I think like a lot of values are changing right now. But have you noticed anything that just hasn't changed with the times? It's just still as hard as ever to come across. I don't know.
I think maybe things have just become more complex and maybe more polarized. Like there seems, on the surface, there's indications of progress on issues of maybe race or something, but if you kind of dig down just a little bit, there's the challenges in terms of everything are still monumental. There's so many things that are. I don't think things have gotten any easier, but I think people have become more sophisticated than they were 20 years ago at addressing the challenges that exist. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I think the activist community in general, whether it's people opposed to global capitalism or people who are working on environmental issues or the animal rights movement, they've become so sophisticated compared to how they operated 20 years ago. On the other hand, the state has also become more sophisticated in their ability to try to suppress these things. But I hold out hope that the sophistication of small groups of activists is going to win.
So, let's see. In 2008, you went on leave from the G7 Welcoming Committee Records Company. What's your involvement with the company now?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Essentially nothing. We maintain it as an archival project, but we don't actually, there's no new records, there's no new releases. I keep bugging the other guy who I do it with, you know, every so often. I say, yeah, we should do it again, we should put up more records, because there's always lots of good bands that aren't getting any help from any of the modern labels that are around that I'd love to help. And he reminds me how difficult and unrewarding some of the work was, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, maybe we shouldn't do that, but you know, maybe I can wear him down, we can start it up again.
That was a perfect answer and totally leads into my next question. I DJ for a pirate station, so I'm always trying to find new bands, hear new bands, show them to my friends. What are some bands that aren't getting recognition that you think are just awesome, killing it right now either in Canada or around the world?
I think the one that stands out to me the most right now is a band from Baltimore called War on Women. And we went with them to Europe about this time, but the previous time, a couple months ago. And they're a great live band. They're a great band on record. They have just a bit of a different sound than everybody else. It's metallic hardcore, but it's also there's a lot of melody. There's two women in the band, which is great. And I think some of the issues there that they tackle in their songs they need to be tackled. A lot of it's about feminism, which I think people have tried to dismiss in the past few years. So I really think War on Women are one of the bands that people need to pay attention to.
Awesome. I'll check them out for sure. Great. Let's see. So you've been on Epitaph with some just fucking ridiculous bands. And then a lot of bands give you guys credit for inspiring them. Is there any band that has given you credit that you've been embarrassed of or, like, disgusted by? You don't have to name. You don't have to name, but has that happened to you?
I can't really think of one. I've never, I don't think any of the modern bands, I think the ones you're referring to, I don't think any of them ever listened to Propaganda.
Probably not.
I remember back in the either late 90s or early 2000s, I think it was either Blink-182 or Simple Plan. Referenced us in some context, and I thought that was kind of funny, but not necessarily embarrassing. I just thought, oh, that's interesting when a band that big and sort of from a very different thread would have heard our band before.
Well, okay, so this is my last question, and it's kind of a silly question, but truth behind the ska song Ska Sucks. Okay, my friend said that you wrote it for another ska band that you really did like, but you were just kind of kidding with him. Is that the truth, or do you just think ska sucks?
No, it was that song. I mean, it never should have been on the record. It was a song we played here in Winnipeg back when we first started. We had a very strange era in the late 80s, early 90s Winnipeg punk scene. And it was just filled, the scene was dominated by skinheads. And a lot of them were, either borderline or outright racist skinheads, but they somehow still identified with ska culture. At least they were, wearing ska. I don't know, it was ridiculous. It had racist skinheads and ska bands, and skinhead ska bands. And we just thought, we just wanted to fucking piss off the skinhead, so we wrote this song, and unfortunately we recorded it, and it got out to the real world, and now we have to live with that fucking albatross around our necks.
awesome. Thank you so much for talking with me. Is there anything you'd like to say that you think our listeners should know, or anything else, any closing thoughts?
Not necessarily. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to talk to us, because I know, we're not a new exciting band. We're an old, hopefully exciting band.
Oh,
I really do appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you. I've been listening to you for the past 20 years. And I mean, like I said, I owned that CD on tape when tape existed. And you've just been an inspiration to me and so many of my friends to become vegan, to ride bikes, to, just your message has always touched all of us. And, we all just want to say thank you to you for being who you are and doing what you do.
Oh, cool. Thanks for that awesome feedback. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.